All right, this is going to be kind of a different kind of time together. Every once in a while, we do something like this, and some time ago, we had a different kind of service where we had a great brother come and testify, the hoops champion, right, the dunk king. That was a great time. And sometimes we just get off the beaten path, and we Kenny Dobbs, and we do different things. And this will be a little different because we have a few people testify, and it's going to be about winning souls. We're not into our Ecclesiastes message. Last week, by the way, sisters, did you guys have a good retreat? Yes. Praise God. I heard it was a great women's retreat. Amen. Heard you guys had about 90 women, and it was just a huge blessing. So praise God, you know. Now's the time right now to say, okay, I need to make sure next year I can try to make it. Amen. And seek the Lord on that. Men's retreat coming up. I know it's months and months away. But you want to set it in your heart now so it doesn't come up and you, oh, I didn't realize it was coming up, because we have a great time and we grow there as well. But I want to encourage you to pick up the last message. It might be a message that I know it's more for the men, but it relates to the women as well, because it's called How to Love Your Wives, right? And maybe it's one that you hand your husband every time, every once in a while, you know. Just kidding. I don't want to start anything. But anyway, that was a very impacting message for different men, for sure. And even sisters, a couple told me that they were impacted that we're here, you know. So I encourage you to grab that. And for sure you men grab it. I encourage you men to stick that in every once in a while, because it really gets into what it means to love your wife. And that was based on Ecclesiastes. If one falls, the other one's there to help them up. And which actually has application to all of us in the body of Christ, but specifically has a beautiful application to husbands loving their wives and vice versa. And it was interesting because, well, I want to get too deep into that. So I'm just going to shift gears, but I encourage you to get that. This is going to be basically on winning souls, this message, on getting the lost saved. And that's the mission of the church. I mean, I remind you that two of the main reasons that you're left here after you get saved are souls and sanctification. Because right after you get saved, you know, God could just bring us into heaven. We've been saved, right? But there's souls. He wants us to win souls for him. Amen. We've been the ones that have been given the gospel, the Great Commission. Amen. And he also is interested in our sanctification, that we would become more Christ-like. And he uses trials, testings, the things in this world that we go through. There's many different purposes, but those are the two main things. And you say, why am I still here after I've been saved? So you can become more like Jesus, sanctification. So you can be prepared, your character could be prepared for the kingdom of God, and also so you can win the lost. The name of this message is called We Are Firemen. And I'm going to break the message in two parts, and it's really several parts, because I'm going to have various people share. We're going to have some people share on the Philippines trip. And I told, you know, we designated 20 minutes for that. I told Sonny at the door, I go, keep in mind, Sonny, 20 minutes. He goes, oh, don't worry, I only have 15 people sharing. I'm like, huh? I go, that. So if you're one of those sharing, I would add up to like a minute plus 20 seconds or something like that. I haven't done the math. But so that means you got to be real quick and just give the highlights. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're like, man, but mine's a 2.5 minute deal. Then you need to nudge the person next to you and say, hey, can I take your time? You know? And that's 15 plus Sonny. And Sonny, we saw your testimony at the men's retreat. Where are you, bro? Amen. He's got a big smile on his face. He knows what I'm talking about. He's long-winded like I am. That's because he's got a lot to share and a big heart. So anyway, we're going to do that. But and I'm going to share a little bit after Sonny and you know, not my Philippines experience. I've shared a little bit of that already, so I feel like give it to the people that haven't shared that. And we aren't going to show the video again. You know, I felt bad for Sonny because I told him last night at Robert's funeral, and praise God, if you made Robert's funeral, was that a glorious funeral? I think there was, I don't know, 400 or 500 people there. He had touched so many lives through his obedience to the Lord and lovingly reaching out to people and encouraging them in Christ. And it was just a great time of memory, a lot of tears, a lot of love, you know. And your life counts. And when you minister to people, and Jesus says, when you give someone a cold glass of water in his name, you will not lose your reward. Even the littlest things can impact people. And that was very brought out in at his funeral, how many people were touched by just his gestures of love. Let that be encouragement to all of us. Amen. I want to go off in a thousand directions, so I'm being very disciplined now. I'll move on from that. But So we're going to have a few different phases. There'll be three videos shown. I told Lenny, I go, if Sonny brings you the video to show that we've shown two different times already, remember the video? We've shown it twice now. I go, we don't have time to show that with everything else. And then Sonny got back to, I didn't explain it well enough, I guess, because Lenny told Sonny, Joe said it's postponed. Your thing, the Filipino thing's postponed. And Sonny's like, what? That would be the second postponement. But it wasn't postponed. I go, well, no, I just meant the video. And then Lenny goes, but he did give me a video. I'm like, uh-oh. So, but then he explained to me that video is going to be on the background of those who are sharing, just in the background. So that'll be cool. But before that goes, a lot of you may not have been aware, while the Philippines trip was going on, many of you are aware, but I want us to get into that a little bit. There was also a Mexico evangelism trip going on in the fellowship, you know? And what's really cool is to see different mission trips going on at different times and then also knowing that people are ministering locally, you know? And it's not just, you know, one group that it goes from time to time to Third Street. There's different groups, at least three different groups I know of that go out independently of each other to share the gospel on the streets. That's a beautiful thing. And that's separately from what we do in our own personal evangelism. So I want to encourage you in every form of evangelism tonight or today. It's not going to go that long. This morning. personal evangelism, group evangelism, and you know, if you say, you know, I'm called to different ministries, I don't know if I'm really called to go across the world. You are called to be involved in it, at least through prayer. Amen. And we're all called to share the gospel in one way or another. Amen. With the example of your life, sharing the word of the Lord with people. I just have a really hard time opening my mouth and sharing. Paul said, pray for me that God would give me boldness to speak. That's Paul. And Paul wasn't known as a speaker. In Corinthians, he says, you mocked me because of my lack of ability to speak. But I think, you know, there's some humility going on there. But Paul shared anyway, and he prayed that God would give him boldness to speak. But you know what? There's these things, these wonderful things called tracks. Amen? Yeah, but my arms don't work very good to pass out a track. Now that's an excuse, okay? There's all kinds of ways we could witness, amen? Anyway, I just want to share a few scriptures with you, and then later I'll share a few more. But in Ephesians 4:11, it says this, that he gave, meaning the Lord God, gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by craftiness, deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That was a lot there. But he gave apostles, prophets. We have the writings of the apostles and prophets right here, amen. The Bible says that the church is built on Jesus Christ, the head cornerstone, and the apostles and the prophets. So we study the apostolic doctrine. The early church, it says in Acts 2, they came together and they fellowshiped with one another and they continued in prayer and thanksgiving and they devoted themselves to the doctrine or the apostles' doctrine. That's why we're students of the word, amen? And they were adding, and souls were being added to their fellowships, you know? And they ministered. So, and then it says apostles, prophets, evangelists. Evangelists are those who, guess what? Go out and what? Evangelize, amen? And share the gospel with the lost. A lot of people got involved in evangelism this year on these mission trips. That's an awesome thing. And pastors and teachers, okay? There's pastoral ministry, which guards the flock and helps equip the flock. And teachers. In the Greek, it's pastor, teachers. So many emphasize that the pastor's also teaching. But also, the scriptures also speak about different teaching ministries within the body of Christ. Older women teaching the younger women. Teaching their children, amen. Mothers teaching their children. Elders being involved in teaching and teaching the young people. We have that going on right now as I speak, which is awesome. But we've been given the Great Commission. Remember Matthew 28? Jesus says in verse 18, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Those words precede his command to go. go into all the, therefore, he says, because all power in heaven and earth belongs to him, and we don't have to wonder if we're going to have the strength to be, to do the work of evangelism. He says, go therefore into all the world. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. He said, you know, specifically, he said, witnessing to all nations. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I love how the Great Commission is bookmarked by all power in heaven and earth is given to me at the front end of that and the bottom end. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. It's his work. We're his body. He's with us. And that's one of the wonderful things about sharing the gospel with people and going out to share the gospel is you see God show up in your life. You see the Holy Spirit set up divine appointments. You just get to see the hand of God because that's what he's doing. You're basically entering into what he's already doing because the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Amen. Let him that's thirsty come and drink of the water of life freely. So the Spirit of God is already crying out. And he wants to cry out through the bride. That's us, the church. Amen. So you get involved in sharing the gospel. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro looking for those to strengthen. And he wants to use us to his glory. So you say, like Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. He wants to send people, amen, that love him. And it's so awesome because all of a sudden you're getting involved in the work of the Lord and you're sensing, and I can't tell you how many times I've evangelized and you know, just watched the Holy Spirit do work beyond what I could do in people's hearts, their minds. You know, people just start crying. You're wondering why because you barely said anything. And the Holy Spirit just begins to work. And it says, so by the way, when Jesus said, go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples of all nations, is that a suggestion or a commandment? Jesus commanded us to go. If you're a Christian, that's a command. Amen? And Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in anticipation of the day of Pentecost. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And I try to make sure we are acutely aware of the fact that we are on the remotest parts of the earth when this was given. You realize that? It was given to them in Jerusalem. Okay? I'm sorry. The power came upon them as they tarried in Jerusalem to be witnesses. And they were starting to in Jerusalem and then Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So when you're saying, man, I've got to go be a witness. I've got to go on world missions. We are in another country. In relation to Israel, where this was given, the harvest is white as snow all around you. Amen. You don't have to say, man, I hope to be a missionary someday. You are already supposed to be a missionary. All of us are. Amen. And that was one of the beautiful things in Robert's life is that he was a missionary. He knew he was a missionary right here. He went on a lot of mission trips with us, but he was a missionary in the here and now. He recognized there's lost souls all around. So, you know, we had a lot of things that have happened this last year, mission-wise, you know. We've done things locally. Revivus just happened. And we've, you know, there's been a lot of street ministry going on here and there. The youth group gets taken on the streets to witness at times that you're not even aware that's going on, you know. Mexico, Jonathan, you probably went to Mexico. I'm going to have him explain that to you more than once this year, I'm aware of. And then, of course, the Philippines trip. And we're not done yet. Next year for evangelism, I want to get into some more local missions. I want to set up, is Wendy here? Or is she working? She's upstairs. Okay. She's working upstairs. That's good. I try to tell people too. I ask people what they do for a living. And Lenny loves this because I hear Lenny share this, you know. And they tell me, I go, well, that's your second job. What's your first job? Your first job is to witness and be an evangelist for Jesus, amen. Shine the light, you know, is to be a minister of reconciliation. Our second job is what we do to bring in the finances to pay our bills, amen. But first and foremost, we've been commissioned by the Lord. We're ambassadors here first. You understand that? You know what an ambassador is, right? Ambassador never really feels at home when he's in another country, but he represents the king from another country. We represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to this country and this world. We're ambassadors for Jesus first. And then as ambassadors, we get jobs to make sure we can pay our bills here. Amen? And support the church and strengthen missions and what have you. But we all ought to be looking at ourselves for who we are. We need to have a vision of what the Lord has called us to. Amen? And I pray and hope you apply what we talk about. If you applied what was taught here, you know, there'd be a bunch of Roberts walking around, okay? Robert was one that was here all the time. He was always in the Word. He was always grabbing CDs. He was listening to them over and over again. He was passing them out to other people. He applied the Word to his life. And how did his life look? Pretty good, amen? And there's a lot of lives that look like that here to one degree or another. And we're all becoming more like Jesus. But you can easily simply apply what's taught and your life could be shining for Jesus. And I hope you apply what we're talking about today. And you say, Lord, at least stretch me in this area, amen, and help me to recognize the call on my life to be more evangelical and witness the lost more and help me grow beyond where I came in here, amen. You know, if you're trusting Jesus for your salvation and you love him and, you know, and he's the object of your faith, you're saved, okay? This isn't about any kind of condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, amen, truly in the faith, following the Lord Jesus. We're new creations in Christ. But there is conviction, and we all need to be strengthened and be convicted. Amen? And a lot of people come here because they know they're not going to leave thinking, oh, praise the Lord, they're going to leave. Praise the Lord and praise God. I need to make sure I'm right with God. That's important. Amen? And that's really what we want. But I'm going to have Jonathan come up and share for a few minutes, and then he's going to introduce his video in those 4 or 5 minutes there. And then he's got a video to show. Then we're going to move to the Philippines section, and then I'll end. And so Jonathan's got a video to share with us. And I'm excited because next year we're going to do a Mexico trip like we did the Philippines trip. And it's going to be a lot easier to go to because it'll be a lot less costly, and you have a lot of hungry souls there as well. Amen? So I'll let Jonathan on the details.
Hello. Can you hear me now? Verizon. Can we do the video first and then I'll talk about it for 5 minutes? Okay. So this was just a few weeks ago or something.
Follow you into the homes of the broken. myself, and I give all myself to you. Oh, and I give all myself.
That was exciting. Watch it again. So first, yeah, I just want to thank those who went. It was a great group, came together, and other people supported and provided and so on. And the Mexico trips that we're doing, they're weekend trips. You know, we're all busy. We've all got work and so on. But I just want to say I've got just 5 minutes. But these trips, you know, we don't always go because we feel like it, you know. I really don't. My flesh never feels like doing anything that God wants me to do. And that's what the scripture says. The flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. Some people maybe love going witnessing. My flesh does not ever want to get up off the couch and go. It doesn't want to do anything that the Lord wants me to do. My spirit does. And that's who we need to listen to. And so the trips that we're doing, they're short weekend trips. We try to go, you know, as every few months or so. And they're good because, you know, we're busy Americans, and yet it gives us a weekend. Most people have weekends off or can get maybe the weekend off. We go down, we come back, and then we go back to work. But, you know, if God puts it on your heart and you want to go, or you want to just support us in prayer, I encourage you to be part of it. Because what it does, more than just us ministering to others, is it ministers to us, American church. We're the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest nations on earth. The Bible says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. When we go to a place of poverty, like many of you who go to the Philippines and outreach and so on, it impacts us, doesn't it? To see how other people live, to see how they, you know, they're okay with living in a concrete floor. They don't have carpet. They're okay with living without insulation, you know, in the ceilings. They're okay even without, some of them, without having hot water in the cold seasons when all they've got is cold showers, and they're used to it. They're humble. They're satisfied. And they don't even know the Lord, some of them, right? So, and yeah, there's much sin down there too, and that's why we go. But what I'm saying is when you go, you come back changed. And, you know, in general, when I talk about the American church, you wonder, there's so many that say, and have you ever maybe felt like this yourself? Well, I feel bored with this Christianity. I'm bored reading, you know, my Bible. Or many in the churches in America are bored. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit is not flowing through their life, right? When you move and do what the Spirit wants, you're full of life, right? And that's what God intended. Jesus says that the living water would flow out of our bellies, right? What happens when water sits still? It gets stagnant, right? There's no life in it. Things die. Look at the Dead Sea. It's just dead, right? But when water is flowing, then there's life. It's full of life. And that's what we want. And so, you know, this trip, We're starting off, we're just kind of going. We don't have it all perfectly planned out. But one thing, like Pastor Joe said, Jesus commands us to go, right? King Og had it backwards, right, in the Old Testament, right? We're commanded to go, not to Og, right? Right? It's just a joke. But we're supposed to go. When we go, God shows up. When you act, when you step out in faith, right? We don't have everything perfectly, but God does. He knows where what side of the boat to throw the net. You know, He knows what He's doing. And He says, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And so when we simply get up and we go and we strive to, you know, plan and organize it best we can, but God shows up. So this time we went, we were in Rosarito. It's more of a touristy town. That's the connection that we had for now. And when we went, this lady had tried to bring together a bunch of farmers, right? She did flyers. She worked really hard to gather people. She got a stage for us to use for, you know, all day long. What happened was these farmers make money on Saturdays. So they went and they tore all of her things up, right? So when we came, it wasn't like this big massive crowd in the center like we were hoping for, right? But it was right inside of a park. We had all day long, and my flesh said, man, I got to, you know, figure out what to do all day long. And I'm sure people felt that, right? It's hot out, got sunburned, right? But instead, you know, the Spirit went, hey, you know what? Thank God I have all day long that we can preach the gospel to people with a speaker, right? So we had testimonies. We had, you know, preaching the gospel, message after message. And we prayed that morning. I probably got like 1 minute, right? We prayed that morning, and a lot of the time in my wife and my ministry, we felt like more we're like the plowers, like Jeremiah. We preach the gospel in America, and people get offended, they go away, you know, because they hear the truth, even if you present it in love. But, you know, it's still important to plow that ground so that someone else could come and plant the seed and water it and so on, and the Lord could save them later. So we don't always see all the fruit. Right, we just have to be faithful and preach the word. But this time, I really cried out to God and said, "You know what, Lord? I know you call us to plow, but please just give us some fruit to encourage us. You know, let us see the fruit. You know." And this is what was wonderful. We preached the gospel all day long, and there was people, you know, all in the park. So I could see from the stage, there's people down the street. And they're sitting there listening, a guy and his girlfriend, and there's people, you know, active in the parks all day long. And throughout the day, people were coming, and believers kept coming and saying, hey, these people are coming, and they're asking to receive the Lord. You know, all day long, there was just people kind of wandering in, you know, people giving their lives to the Lord. A Muslim gave her life to the Lord. A couple gave their lives to the Lord, and on and on. I guess there was, you know, more than I knew. So praise the Lord that God was ministering to people's hearts. And I'll end with this. We finally got a connection that we want. We're gonna start going into Ensenada again. We got a house that we can use there. And we're going to start bringing clothes now. We're ready to bring clothes. There's a lot of people that have been asking to give clothes. Now we're ready for them. And we went for years and years. So I'll tell you how it goes there. Ensenada is really poor. We bring all of our old clothes, or you can give new clothes if you have it. You bring all the soccer balls that are used that your kids don't play with anymore. Everything that's not, you know, played with here because we have everything. You bring it there, and they are just thrilled. Hundreds of people come from that town and from that city. They come to receive your clothes. They come to receive the gifts, and they come to receive the beans and rice that you give. And then you have this big crowd to present the gospel to. And we've seen it year after year in that town. So we're excited. So if you want to join us, you know, it's fruitful, it's encouraging, and you come back built up in the Lord and refreshed, and you can go back to work. All right? So love you guys.
Is an example of a brother who has the gift of evangelism. And it's awesome to see the heart the Lord's given him and his wife for the loss. And funny, the first time I met Jonathan, what restaurant was that at, bro? The parking lot or something. Mimi's in Thousand Oaks. And I started to share the gospel with him. And I gave him a video. I think I took it in my trunk, right? Popped the trunk, you know? And it wasn't a drug deal. In the old days, it would have been, you know? But it was a Jesus deal. And I shared the gospel with him. I gave him sold their souls for rock and roll. And then he ended up in a discipleship camp because you were coming off drugs or something at that time. And then you shared that with the whole discipleship camp. And Jonathan, when you hang out with him, he's just a blessing and infectious, where you just want to share the gospel with people. And by the way, when I mentioned the different types of evangelism the church is doing, I didn't mention our DVDs and CDs. And God uses them to bring a lot of people to Christ. We get a lot of, you know, emails and different people that have been impacted by the ministry, saved through that. And so we continue to do ministry like that. That's probably one of the ways we affect the most people in this country with the gospel of Jesus is making videos. We're updating, by the way, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll right now. Adam's on it. You know, I get Adam for a few months a year, and I've had him for a month now. I think I might have another 2 months, and I'm going to get as much of that done as possible. And it's going really well. It's going to be beyond anything we've done before on music. A lot of the modern stuff mixed with some of the old, so they see the movement. It's powerful. So pray for that. Please pray for that. I've been praying more and sowing more into that than I have other videos, but it's not going to be a 10-hour like our magnum opus, which is really amazing, but it's going to be more of a, you know, a shorter version, like the 3-hour we pass out, but up to date. So please pray for that. And we had a great time in the Philippines, and I want to just talk about how wonderful it was, but I better not, right? Because we got Sunny to do that, and some people are going to bring up. So, Sunny, why don't you start us off, and you can start rolling that video right now too, Lenny, or whenever you feel. We want to make sure that's a background video, though. So there's no words to it.
Thank you. I'd like to call the Philippine mission team up front here to join me. Come on, guys. We only have 20 minutes to do this, so we're going to give each one of them 1.27 minutes to talk. Remember, guys, 1.27 minutes. Magandang umaga sa inyong lahat. That is good morning in the Tagalog language of the Philippines. We would like to thank you. We're here to thank you for the support you have given the Philippine mission team. And we are so grateful for your prayers, for your financial support. We could not have done this without you. Since we only have 20 minutes to do this, I'm not going to say a lot. I'm going to let the PowerPoint run and explain what we were doing in the Philippines. And in the meantime, while that thing is running, I'm going to ask each one to give 1.27 minutes to tell their story. So I'd like to call, let's start from the left over here.
Youngest to oldest.
Yeah. Nobody told me I was speaking. Hi, guys. So the trip was awesome, as you guys know. And I would encourage everybody to go on a mission trip somewhere. I brought my two kids, and it was a lot of work. And sometimes I didn't get to rest. But then God provides another way. Sometimes you get to rest because you have kids, too. So bring your kids, bring your families, and do some sort of mission work, whether it be feeding the homeless locally or something like that, because it'll make a lasting impact on your life. And I think it doesn't just change that day. Like, you start to see things differently, and the more you do it, the more your life changes. So it's not only good for others, but it's good for your family and those around you. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Now, you know, for us, I know the mission trip as a team was awesome. And somebody had asked me, you know, about the Philippines. I actually ran into somebody from the Philippines. And it was so easy to talk about the people there. You just love them, you know. And just like, you know, we got our Filipino Sonny here, you know, and at the church. And you just, there's just such a love. There's just such a joy. And coaching wrestling over the years, I've always had Filipino kids wrestle for me. And there's such a love. But for me personally, the team was so impactful. for me to be on be able to be on the trip with my wife and kids. So many times where literally I've had Justice on my shoulders all day, and Greg Drinkle would grab him off my shoulders, or you know, his grandma or grandpa or Uncle Momo or JoJo or Anne-Marie, and just the whole team. Everybody on the team at some point helped us out, and for me, just being able to be a part of such an amazing team that was doing such an amazing work, it was really impactful personally for me. So I want to thank you guys for that. Praise the Lord.
Hi, guys. Philippines was incredible. I went to Australia and New Zealand for the past 6 months doing a kind of like a YWAM mission trip thing, and my outreach was in New Zealand, and New Zealand is a lot like America in a lot of ways, very materialistic, and so a lot of the like ministry you're trying to do is, it's kind of, you don't see as much fruit compared to what we've experienced in the Philippines. It was absolutely like fire, if that's the way I can explain it. Like going in from village to village each night and just inviting people to hear what we have to share with them and music and things like that, and sharing the gospel and seeing hundreds of people so hungry to receive it. And oh my goodness, it was incredible. And for me, like one of the highlights was we were in this shopping mall one day, and I was just looking around at people. Like I'm like, I'm here to like look at stuff and things like that, but I want to share with these people still. And these group of like girls walk up to us and they're like, hey, can we ask you like questions for like a survey for our school? And I'm like, yeah, only if I get to give you a test afterwards. And you know, got to share the gospel with these girls, and they gave their lives to the Lord right there on the spot in the middle of the mall. Got to lead them in the sinner's prayer, and just that happening over and over and over again throughout the trip. And it was just such a blessing. So thanks for your support.
Amen.
All right. How's it going, everyone? This is probably the most you're probably going to hear me speak. I know what you're saying. You're probably thinking, oh my gosh, he does speak. But no, the Philippines was an amazing trip. Probably the best one I've been so far. I mean, Israel was good. Brazil was good. But this one, hands down, was the best. Why was it the best? Because I met my wife there. Yeah. So she's going to come back, hopefully, in a year and a half. Right now I'm on that TV show, 90 Day Fiancé, so they're in the back, the camera crew's in the back, you can just wave to the camera crew. It's on TLC on Sundays if you want to watch it. But no, it was great, it was amazing, the people were really, oh my gosh, the people were amazing. Like, once we touched down, the Philippines were like, they came, they swarmed us, they showed us love. And I can't say enough about the Filipino people, they're just amazing. Amen. Wonderful people. They're like, they'll give the shirt off your back, literally, to just make sure you're comfortable. The only one thing I'm going to warn you guys about is when you go, be prepared to eat the balut. Be prepared. It's not that bad. It's like a hard-boiled egg, but just the thought of it messes with your psyche, and you might try to puke it. So it's okay.
I'll let these guys, they got some great stories too, but one thing that happened to me while I was out there, that we were going to the island of Hohenhon, and I was hoping that there's surf there, so I'm looking around for a surfboard. I found a surf camp that was only a mile and a half south of where we were staying. So I went down there, and the guy says, no, we don't rent out surfboards to leave the area. They rent them here to surf. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to find a surfboard. We're going to Hohenhon. And it's not seasonal anyway. There's no waves there anyway. But I thought maybe there's, you know, 3-foot ankle slappers or something. And so they point to this old hut. And they said, here, there's an old guy that lives there. He's got 4 boards. And, oh, okay, maybe he'll want. Knock on the door. The guy's 72 years old. He's an American. He surfed here at Ventura, was raised here in Ventura, went there, and just vulgarity all over his body with tattoos, and you're just kind of looking away as you're And Pastor, no, it was Pastor Norman went with me. He took me there. We're both sitting there just looking at this guy. And he had his lady friend there with him, I guess. I mean, I knew it was his lady friend. They're sitting there. And then it just occurred to me. It just stopped, and I stopped. I said, hey, look, you know, I just came thousands of miles, and I'm sitting here in front of you at your house. You know God set this up, right? And he's looking at me kind of puzzled. He said, no, I'm an atheist. And so I drew a circle in the sand. I made a dot in that circle. He says, that dot's everything you know. And that means in that circle is all the universe information. And you don't know everything in the information in the universe, right? You just know that dot. It's pretty generous, isn't it? He says, well, yeah. I said, well, that's pretty arrogant to say there is no God. So he's kind of looking, yeah, man, wow, all my life I've been an atheist. And I said, well, then you're agnostic. So let me tell you about Jesus. So I went on and told him about the Lord. And he was very receptive of it. And he received Jesus. And he didn't fully commit his life to Christ. Well, he was still puzzled. He's sitting there thinking about it. Well, I took the surfboard. He gave it to me. He said, go. So I came back with it. And then we spent another 45 minutes with him. And says, so Pastor Norm is taking him to church on Sundays because his auto repair guy is right next to it. So he's going to be going there now, meet Pastor Furs. And so praise the Lord. 70-year-old man said, hey, look, we're all here for a little while. Your time's just about up, buddy. And he looked at me like this. And I said, he said, yeah, you're right. You know, it was really cool. The Lord just poured it on. So that was my little part of the whole mission trip. So praise the Lord.
When Danny Boy is talking about a belug, and he says it's like a hard-boiled egg, well, it is an egg, but it is it's a delicacy in the Philippines, and they pay extra for this egg, and it is a egg that hasn't hatched yet. So they're kind enough to take half the shell off where you're looking at this bird. They pour some vinegar in it, and this is for all the new missionaries. So if you want to go on a missionary trip and need a half grown egg, sign up. You have to do it too. But it does taste like a hard-boiled egg, and it is doable, but it does play with your mind. You know, when you go to the Philippines, and you go to these little barangays, which are these little towns, the kids there and the people there, they don't have radios, they don't have TVs, they don't have radios, they don't have magazines, they don't have any of Satan's influence corrupting them and preparing them to be anti-Christ. So when we show up and we have the word and we have the truth and we have what we're coming with, the spirit of the Lord, these people receive it. They hear it. We're made to receive it. God made us to receive his word and know him and have a relationship with him. And when there's nothing there to stop that or hinder it, and they hear the word, they receive it. And it's awesome to see these young people and middle-aged people and older people hearing it and receiving it and appreciating what you're doing. Appreciation for someone coming and sharing Christ. You don't see it here. You don't see it in a lifetime a lot of times. You guys, it is moving. It is like Jonathan was saying, it changes you. You're like, it's like, wow, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. So very touching, very awesome. And one thing I want to share is two things. One, everybody that's Filipino is pretty much hairless. So a lot of the kids, I noticed them rubbing my arm. I'm like, what are they doing? They never felt a hairy arm before. So like, okay, I know what they're doing. Then the other thing was, because I'm tall, these kids would come up, and they'd literally go like this on my chest, up against me, and then they'd step back and see how they size up to me. They'd laugh and joke, and it's just a great way to, you know, share with these kids. And just, they always ask me, do you know Michael Jordan? Or do you know, any of the basketball pros? And you live in the States, you're tall, you must know all the basketball pros. So common question. It's just a great way to break through and talk with them. And the kids were just so full of joy and peace, and they're just humble and sweet, and they received everything that you gave them. Spiritually, if you get a piece of candy, whatever it was, they were thankful, and it was awesome. Thank you.
Magandang umaga, maupay naga. Speaking in tongues, we've been practicing. So. Anyway, no, that's just two different dialects that we, for saying good morning in there. But really, you know, a lot of you should be up here with us because you went with us. Amen. With just your giving and your hearts of servitude on the backside of all this that enabled us to go, you know. And, of course, you know, the Lord, I just really want to say, I'll just keep it to this because it's the most, the trip was impacting. Just over 1,000 people came to the Lord. It's just watching what the Lord does. And but getting there just to go, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen for me, you know, and things that went on with Sonny and a heart attack before, the Lord was really protecting us, you know, and the enemy was trying to beat us down. It's kind of like that Job thing, you know, where, you know, the sons of God, that's us. Our prayers are going before the Lord. And here Satan was there also, just like now. He accuses a brethren daily before the Lord, seeing whom he can accuse. He roams about trying to cut us down. And so it was literally about 2 weeks before the trip. And I just said, I was working. I'm all, Lord, if you don't want me to go, stop me. Because I, you know, I don't want to go in the flesh. You know, I love doing these trips. I love doing mission work. I love serving the Lord, but I never want to do it in the flesh. So I always challenge the Lord to stop me before these trips to see if it's me or him that wants me to go. And by the end of the day, I couldn't walk, and my back went out. It was almost 2 weeks, and I'm like, wow, Lord, you want me to go? And so then I'm like, wait a minute, test the spirits to see whether from the Lord or not. So okay, Lord, if that's you crippling me, I'll be ready in time to go. But if it is, if it's the enemy, you'll have me ready in time. But if it's you, the Lord, then I will be in bed and not able to go. And before that test, the other test was just the last provision. And then I like, oh, Lord, do you do want me to go? Because the last provision came in at the last minute, a lovely sister, and the Lord covered it. And I'm like, wow, Lord, you do want me to go. And then all of a sudden I'm crippled. After that, I'm all, okay, you don't want me to go. So anyway, make a long story short, I was in bed. This is the worst it's been in probably 20-some-odd years. You ask my wife, it's been a long time. My back's been that bad, I couldn't even move. I mean, spasms all night, couldn't sleep. It was crazy. So anyway, it was an awesome thing because, and then you have your friends, you know, you got people who care about you and say, well, maybe you shouldn't go because you need to work and provide for your family when you get back. I said, well, if the Lord enables me to go, he'll enable me to continue after. And so I waited in here 2 days before the trip. Sonny's like, I need to know because I go order the ticket. I'm like, well, Lord, I can't walk. Okay, I need to know by tomorrow. I literally got up Tuesday morning, and I just went down, and I'm like, hey, Sonny, can you order the ticket? Literally, it happened that way. I'm like, okay, Lord, just like you. Last minute. This happened almost every trip. The enemy's trying to cripple me, and this is the worst it's ever been. So next year, he's going to try something different. So, and for Sonny, too, the Lord to provide him to go. So don't underestimate the Lord. See, if the Lord wants you to go, don't say, well, I don't feel like it. No, it ain't about feeling. Just like Jonathan said, it's about knowing that the Lord wants you to go. Test him in that. Test the spirits. Is my time up?
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Okay, amen.
1.27 minutes. Is that? He volunteered to eat one of those eggs.
Hey, they taste pretty good.
I'll make this short. I was so blessed and humbled by so many things. This team was great. Great to be among a bunch of brothers and sisters who love Jesus. I was encouraged by the students at the college. They were on fire for Jesus, up every morning at 5 a.m. worshiping. And it was such a blessing to me to be among these students who just love the Lord. And it just so encouraged me. And just the reception of the gospel there, it's sometimes really hard to reach people here. We just push and push through, no matter what, out of obedience. But there, it's like there was so much fruit. And by the way, that egg, I did vomit it up, just so you know.
Hi. First thing I want to say is this was the first time that I've ever left the country or ever been on a mission trip. And I want to say it was one of the best experiences of my entire life. And it was absolutely beautiful there. And the people were so generous and so kind. And they will do anything for you just to make sure you're comfortable. And so I really encourage everybody to go on at least one mission trip in your entire life, because this is one of the best experiences.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that was out there praying for us and anyone who gave money or anything before, because I've been on a lot of mission trips in my life. I've been to, I think, 20 countries now. And every time we go somewhere, towards the end of the trip, everyone starts to get a little bit whiny. Everyone wants to go home. And I thought that was going to happen. There was a day on the trip where I was like, oh, no, it's going to start, because it starts every time. But you can, I'm serious. But you could tell it started for maybe about 2 hours. Then everyone went, took a nap. And for the rest of the trip, you can just tell there was something different about this trip. And there was more people praying than I think there's ever been praying for us. And everyone was just got along so well. I've never seen that in my entire life. And it was definitely God. Thank you.
Well, it was a great trip. And we all thank you for all of your donations and hard work praying, because I know it's hard when you're here, you're not experiencing it, you just forget to pray sometimes, but I know that it was drilled into everybody, and I know a lot of you did pray, and I thank you for that.
Hello, everyone. When Lisa came back the first time from the Philippines, we all met at the house, and she came and she sat in the living room, and she was telling us about the trip, and she was crying, and she was telling us how great it was. And I didn't really understand why she was so emotional about the trip, and she was just telling us how hungry everyone was there. And I didn't experience that until we went on the trip, and I think everyone in this group understands these people there. It's just such an amazing thing, and I just want to encourage all you guys, if we have another opportunity to go to the Philippines, sign up. I mean, it'll change your life. Thanks.
Wow, I have to say that this was an amazing group, and I have to parrot exactly the same thing these guys have said, and I want to encourage you, if you have never been on a mission trip, the mission trip's only partially for the people who hear us when we go, but it's really for you. It changes you. You become a better person. You serve the Lord in a different way. You have an excitement and a passion that you would not have until you go and put your feet on the ground and your heart in these people's lives, and you see the fruit and you're obedient. So if I can encourage every single one here, somehow go on some kind of mission trip sometime in their life.
Thank you. How about Joe? Big Joe?
Praise the Lord, guys.
Well, thank you very much, and you've heard them. They are so enthusiastic about this mission trip. I don't know why. It's so hot and humid, and the bed was hard, and the toilet won't flush sometimes, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We were serving the Lord, and we thank you for it.
Because the time is short.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jonathan had his hand up over there. Praise God. That all matters. Amen. Jesus said, pray about missions. He says, the harvest is white in the snow. Pray that the Lord would send out laborers. Amen. So prayer is a huge part of missions. Josiah, I mean, we've had every experience, every time I've gone with a group so far, when we've gone with other missionaries or other groups and stayed with people that helped out, we've always got really strong reports from the people that hosted us about the groups we brought. I just think that testifies to the maturity level of a lot of the believers that are going. It's been a beautiful experience. So you guys have been great. Keep growing in the Lord on your daily walk, because that's part of preparation for when you do share. Amen. As far as the whiny part, I never really noticed that. But then I thought, well, when Josiah has been going on mission trips, he started when he was 3-4 years old, and there's other kids around. They're probably little kids all whining together. Josiah, where are you? No, I'm sure at the end of the trip, you're ready to go home, some people. So, but it was one of those trips. It was a long trip. It was 2 weeks. So at the end of that trip, people were still just rearing to see people saved. And that was awesome. We went 40 minutes instead of 20, but that's okay, because God's God's good, and I'm glad it happened that way. I'm just going to share a few verses in one more video, and I'll just shorten my message up quite a bit. I just want to mention that we should all have hearts to evangelize, you know. And I remember a sister years ago sharing with me that, you know, she loves to come and hear the word and everything, but she just is sad because she doesn't have a heart for the lost, you know. And what makes us different than the world? Jesus said, you know, what better are you if, like the world, you love your own? Because even the pagans love their own families, you know. But he commanded us to love our enemies. That's unnatural. Amen. Agape, God so loved the world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. So we want to love the lost. And that love is not a natural love. That comes from God. So we must seek his love. Amen. We must cry out to him and ask his spirit to flow through us. Because Paul got to the point where he said that, you know, for the Jews that were rejecting Jesus there in Romans 9, he said that, you know, his heart's prayer was for their salvation and that he would be cursed if they could be saved. That's amazing. Remember, Moses said, blot me out of your book. That's God's love. And that means, guys, we need to pray, God, help me love like Jesus loved. That should be one of our main prayers. I've tried to teach you in this fellowship that for years, that should be one of your main prayers. And the cool thing is we get tested every day as to how much we love people. Amen. Every day, almost every situation. Amen. So it's something you constantly monitor and say, Lord, help me die to myself more, become more loving. And I like to just be reminded of the cross. When I think of Jesus and what he did for me, it makes me love more. Remember the woman, and she came and she washed Jesus' feet with her hair and with her tears. And a Pharisee was like, if he knew what this woman, who this woman was. And he read his thoughts and he said, hey, he goes, I came in here. You didn't give me anything to drink. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't wait on me at all. But she's washed my feet with her tears. He said, because the one who is forgiven much, what? Loves much. She received forgiveness. We love him because he first, what? Loved us. And the love of God, Paul says, constrains us, motivates us to share Jesus with people. Amen. And also the fear of the Lord, the fact that people are headed toward eternal damnation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, the same chapter where he says the love of God constrains us to share with the lost. I'm paraphrasing him there. He says, knowing the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. We know what's coming. We know what's coming. We know that eternal judgment is coming. We should see, I mean, what if you were lost and headed toward the lake of fire? Hopefully someone would reach out to you, right? Well, we have that message. And I read where a Satanist, who shouldn't be able to speak on this issue at all, he said, if I was a Christian and I understood that people were going to hell, I would crawl over glass to reach them. And when you have a Satanist saying that, you know, he has no moral authority to say that. He's leading people the wrong way. That's convicting. That was Crowley that said that. But he said, do you guys really care about those who are going to hell? He's basically saying, are you any better than I am? You know? So we need to make sure. I love what David said. David wrote, and this is after he had fallen radically into sin and adultery and all kinds of ugliness, and God rescued him, and he repented after Nathan said, thou art the man, and brought the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon him. And he prayed in Psalm 51, verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now listen to this. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Amen. So he had a broken heart because of his sin, and he saw the grace that God was having on him, and now he wanted to extend that grace to others. Amen. And the Bible says that we're new creations of Christ, and God's given us a ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled through Christ's death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection for our justification. Now we ought to be sharing that with others, and we ought to have a heart to share that with others. And we're firefighters for Christ. Jude 1:7 says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh and are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. And the world's becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah. But look what Jude 22, a few verses later, says. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment that is polluted by the flesh. People are going to hell. We're firefighters. We're supposed to be snatching people from the fire. I love what Ray Comfort said. Now imagine a group of firefighters polishing their fire engine outside a burning building. They are so consumed with what they are doing that they're oblivious to the cries of help from terrified people who are trapped at a top floor window. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with cleaning their fire engine, but not while people are trapped in a burning building. As ridiculous as it may seem that any firefighter would do such a thing, that's a picture of much of the contemporary church. The vast majority are polishing the engine of worship, prayer, and praise, each necessary and important, but neglecting the sober task God has given us to seek and save the lost. Oswald J. Smith said, quote, "Oh, my friends, we are loaded down with countless church activities, while the real work of the church, that of evangelizing the world and winning the lost, is almost entirely neglected." That's why our fellowship, I purposely wanted to be very simple. Amen? Be about all about Jesus, all about worshiping Him, loving Him, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, building up the body so we can become more Christ-like, sanctification, and winning the lost. Amen? That's what this church is about. And this church attracts people that are about that, which is a beautiful thing, and I love it. And that was our mission from the very beginning, and we continue in that. And I look and praise God, we've pretty packed today. It's a good day to be packed, so we can be fired up and motivated. Proverbs 8:11-30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." Daniel 12:3 says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Amen? You know, this is a true story. I love this. I love firefighter stories. She is pregnant. He had just saved her from a fire in the house, a raging fire. And after she left the house, she was waiting in the front yard. When he continued to fight the fire as a fireman, when she was safe. When he finally got done putting the fire out, he sat down to catch his breath and rest. This firefighter was exhausted. A photographer from Charlotte, North Carolina newspaper noticed her in the distance looking at the fireman. He saw her walking straight toward the fireman and wondered what she was going to do. As he raised his camera, she came up to the tired fireman who had saved her life from the fire and her babies, because she was pregnant and there was more than one baby saved, and kissed him just as the photographer snapped his photograph. And I thought that was a cool story, because she's so happy that she gets saved from this fire, she goes and gives this fireman a big kiss. Can we put that picture up? It's a pretty cool picture. They got the picture. Ain't that cool? I love that. You know, that's one of those stories you see on the internet, you wonder if it's true or false, but I fact-checked it, and that actually happened. They elaborated on the story. He grabbed her, he held her, and closed, and brought her. That didn't happen. He opened the door, and she ran out. But just tell the truth, the story's still powerful, amen? And she runs up to him and just, "Thank you." Now, if a dog could be thankful for being saved, how much more should we be thankful, amen, from being saved from the fire, amen, and show thanks to our God, and be a witness for Him, and shine the light of the gospel? Chad found a video that was shot of the gospel being shared on 3rd Street some time ago. And he said, "Hey, I've never seen this." And I don't usually bring a camera out when I witness, but we brought a camera out that day. And I told Tony, who couldn't make it today, he's here every Sunday, but he said he couldn't make it, and to cut it down for this. He said, he goes, "I can't cut that down. It's just, the whole thing's powerful." And he did cut it down, thank God, because I got an email this morning that he said he was able to cut it in half about. So we're going to watch that video and close with that. Let's show that, Lenny. We can get the lights off. And this just gives you an example of how to witness. Is sometimes people are real hard at first. Can we back that up, bro? Because there's no sound. You know, back that up first. Start over with sound. Thanks, bro. Because I want you to hear her at the beginning. She's not open at all. It looks like it's in the Philippines because she's Filipino, but this was on 3rd Street.
not being antagonistic. When we leave each other tonight, we're going to be smiling at each other and give each other a hug, okay?
Okay.
But what if I was to say to you that God would say, I couldn't let you in, I can't let you in because of that. And now you got to let me explain, okay? Because I believe you can still get in. You're going to hear me, okay? And I thank the Lord that you understand He has revealed Himself, and you see there's a difference between good and evil and so forth. That's all so beautiful. But the scriptures teach that all of our righteousness is filthy rags in God's sight. Now I'm talking about the righteousness, the things that we do on our own to be good. Yeah, right. Okay. Now the scriptures also state that by the works of the law or doing what's right, nobody will be justified before God in His sight. Because the problem is that we also have a lot of sin, and we do a lot of things. You're probably incredibly righteous relative to a lot of people out there, you know. Relative to Charles Manson, you and I are angels, right?
But
okay, but even saying that doesn't mean all of a sudden we have access to heaven. I'll tell you why. If you're going down the freeway and you're going to 95 miles an hour and you run over a kid, what's that?
Which I did today. I jumped 90 miles an hour on the freeway today. Yeah,
okay.
I did that today too. But I didn't hit a kid.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Next time you're going down the freeway, let's say you're going the speed limit 65, right? And then the cops pull you over, the cop that was chasing you, but you didn't even know he was chasing you. And then he pulls you over and says, I tried to catch you yesterday, but you were too fast. Now I'm giving you're in trouble. I mean, you're going pretty fast. And do you think it would work if you said to him, yeah, but I'm obeying the speed limit. Based on that, that crime doesn't count. Would that work?
From yesterday?
Well, if let's say, you know, somebody does go 95 miles an hour down the freeway and they run over a kid or whatever. Okay, 95, you get hauled into prison or jail for a while, right? So you're going 95 as felony, right? So you outrun the cop, right?
Yeah.
But then he catches you the next day, but you're going the speed limit. Are you able to say to him, hey, I've been good lately, so you can't bust me? Or would he say, no, you still have to pay the fine?
So in a sense, you're kind of relating that to God.
Well, what I'm saying is that, let's say I rob a bank, you know, or I do some really wrong things, right? But then I'm good for a little while, and I'm spending the money, but I'm still being good and relatively. Do you think at that point the cops no longer can bust me?
The means doesn't justify the ends, basically. Like, if you know you're doing wrong, then you shouldn't feel guilty for getting caught for what you did.
Okay, and that's my point. No matter how good we've been, is we can't earn heaven. Or we can't say, hey, I'd be good enough to enter. And like you were saying, I'd say the good things that I've done. The scriptures state, and I grew up Catholic too, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing I appreciate about talking to a lot of people that have grown up Catholic is they do have some kind of knowledge of God, fear of God, some knowledge of the Word to a degree, right? And they're easy to talk to about spiritual things. However, it's essential, because the only way we can get into the kingdom is through Christ's sacrifice on the cross and what He did. Because in the scriptures teach that, what's that?
I forget that.
Okay, it's something that you don't want to forget, because this is how you get in. Okay, and now we don't want to follow anybody's opinions but the Lord's. So when we turn to the Word of God and we read it says that all have sinned and come short of God's glory, and that the wage of sin is death. That's why we all die. You and I'm as guilty as you, okay, Nicole, because of my sin, you know. It's okay, you can cry, because God's working on your heart right now, okay? And He's here right now. But He wants you to know that none of us can get in. Doesn't matter how good we've been, because of our crimes that we've done against Him. We've all done a lot of sin, right? Well, the thing is that He, when He went to the cross, He fulfilled a ton of prophecies that said He would come. I mean, hundreds of them, right? Born in Bethlehem, crucified between thieves, buried in a rich man's tombs. But when He was on the cross, and it turned black, He said, Father, you know, and well, not forgive him, forgive them for their doing, right, exactly. What did He say?
He said, forgive them for what they don't know what they're doing.
Right. And as He's...
us today, because we don't know what we're doing, right?
And that's His love to you, Nicole, and I want to say this to you. When He was on the cross, that it turned black for a few hours, you know. If you see the Passion for Christ, it was horrible what He went through. It was horrible. But He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it turned black. And it's because God's wrath that you and I deserved and everybody else, because God in His love said, I'm going to take that wrath upon myself. So the penalty that you deserve, whether it's the guy that owns a ticket, somebody could pay his fine, right? Jesus paid your fine, okay, on the cross. And all you have to do is turn to Him and receive it as a free gift. Jesus said this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he said, this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men don't receive it. They love darkness rather than light. But Jesus said this, and it's beautiful. He said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me should be saved. So he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, and I'll come into him. So if you ask Jesus Christ, if you repent of your sin, you say, you know what? I admit my sin's wrong, and I failed, but I accept what you did on the cross, Jesus, for my sins. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast away. And he said, whoever comes to me, he said, not only will not cast away, he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. We're just about done, and it's going to be beautiful. Now, he says this to you, Nicole. He says, the Bible says, as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So if you say, Lord, I know I've blown it, and you say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins. He'll forgive you of your sins.